Good morning. Happy Easter to all of you. My name is Connor Bales. I have the privilege of serving as the lead pastor here on the North Campus of our church. And on behalf of Dr. Graham and our entire staff family, I want to welcome you to Easter worship with us here at Prestonwood. I also want to welcome those of you that are watching in our overflow room this morning. We're so excited to have you here. And when we're dismissed here in just a few minutes, I'll be out in the atrium along with our staff and would love the opportunity to get to meet you and connect with you, maybe tell you a little bit more about our church and prayerfully get you and your family plugged in here with us. This is an exciting day for us. It's not lost on me that all over the world right now, this weekend, millions of people are gathered around the same common celebration, and that is the greatest reality in all of human history, the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It is significant, and it is not lost on us here today. And here's what we know. We know that Jesus Christ was a historic figure who claimed to be God in the flesh. He lived a sinless life. He died a sinner's death, taking the penalty and punishment for our sin. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was ultimately crucified in our place as a substitute for our sin. But that was Friday. But on Sunday, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, we celebrate a Sunday. We may live in a Friday world, but we're a Sunday people because on Sunday, Jesus Christ got up. He conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. He defeated Satan, and he is alive and ruling and reigning right now. We celebrate a risen King today. That's Easter. That's the celebration of Easter. And ultimately, it's this good news, it's this reality that puts Jesus into a category that is all his own. This is what would make Jesus greater than anyone or anything else in all of history. Jesus is greater than Satan. Jesus is greater than sin. Jesus is greater than death. Jesus is greater than hell. Jesus is greater than any religion. He's greater than any religious leader. He's greater than any philosophy you could study or seek to understand. Jesus Christ is in a category all his own because he not only died, but he's resurrected, and that is because Jesus Christ is greater. And we know what it means to measure things and compare things and rate one as greater than another. I'll give you an example. Which is greater, okay? Shake Shack or In-N-Out? It's Whataburger. What's wrong with you people? Come on. All right, let's try it again. I need to see who's saved in the room. What's better, Coke or Pepsi? Dr. Pepper, that's what I'm talking about. There's my Jesus people in the house, okay? And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the empty tomb, look at me, is proof positive that Jesus Christ is, in fact, greater. But ultimately, what you heard on the opening video, what I would ask you to lean in and ask yourself this resurrection day, everybody has to grapple with this fundamental question. We've got to wrestle with and come to an understanding of what does a resurrected Jesus mean to me? What does it mean to know and understand that God sent his Son to live a life I couldn't live and die a death that I deserve, but to rise in victory so that I might have everlasting life with him? This morning, we're going to take a brief look at the life of someone in the scriptures who had a miraculous encounter with a resurrected Jesus, and it forever changed her. And here's what I think. I think if you'll be honest with yourself here today, and if you'll lean in just a little bit as we walk through this story, we're going to see that every single one of us can find something about this character we're going to study today that we can relate with, whereby we can insert ourselves and answer the question, what does the resurrected Jesus mean to me? Grab your copy of God's Word and let's turn together to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, look on with your neighbor. If your neighbor will not share with you and you live in the same house with them, you need to schedule an appointment with us. Otherwise, we will always put the scriptures up on the screen so that you can follow along. We're going to study the story of Mary Magdalene. Now, some of you are probably asking this question, Who is Mary Magdalene? Well, essentially, while not named as one of the 12 men who were in the inner circle known as the disciples of Jesus Christ, Mary Magdalene was in fact a disciple. She was one of the early followers of Jesus. She was a part of the entourage in the earthly ministry that helped to facilitate and conduct the work of God on earth. Mary was saved early in Jesus' ministry, and as soon as Jesus had this miraculous encounter with her, her life was fully devoted into serving alongside of him. So as one of the members of the inner circle of Jesus, she obviously had an eyewitness accounting of everything that had taken place in his life. Most especially where we're going to find ourselves this Sunday morning, she is an eyewitness to the last Passion Week of Jesus. She had seen Jesus ride last Sunday into Jerusalem on the donkey as that triumphal entry. They were waving palm branches and shouting out, Hosanna, begging God, save right now. She had certainly witnessed Jesus going into the temple and turning tables over because the affection of God's people was being divided and scattered among things that were not worthy of his praise. She then saw Jesus betrayed by one of the men who was a part of this group that had been serving along his side for the last 3 years. She saw Jesus falsely in prison, illegally tried, sinfully executed. She watched as Jesus had his beard plucked out as a crown of thorns was placed upon his head. She saw Jesus mocked and scourged and beaten and ultimately crucified on Calvary's cross. And yes, she saw as Jesus breathed his last and died a sinner's death and was taken off of that cross and buried in the tomb. Mary Magdalene saw everything. And this is what we're going to see. Something happens when you encounter the resurrected Christ. John chapter 20, let's read together starting in verse number 1. If you're there, say, I got it. Here we go. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. If you mark or highlight in your Bibles, I want to ask you to get in the margin for just a minute. Circle that word dark. We're going to get back to it here in just a sec. And she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now here's what's fascinating. Mary Magdalene was one of the first people on the scene in recorded history that had witnessed that the tomb was empty and the stone had been rolled away. She was likely the first person to have a conversation with the resurrected Jesus. She's certainly the first person who proclaimed of his resurrection to those who had not yet heard. Mary Magdalene has just been given by God a central role in the resurrection account of God's only Son, our Messiah, Jesus Christ the Lord. And yet, here's what's fascinating. Mary Magdalene seems to be the most unlikely candidate to be entrusted with such significant news. Here's what I mean. Mary got her name because she hailed from a place known as Magdala. Now, if you don't know history, Magdala was actually in the first century a small fishing village on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. But it's actually not known for fishing, but rather for the spiritual darkness which permeated the village that was given this name. Mary Magdalene was quite familiar with this darkness. It was known for heavy demonic and spiritual oppression. And when Jesus encountered Mary Magdalene for the very first time in Luke chapter 8, the Bible says she was actually possessed by 7 demonic spirits. Mary hailed from a place of darkness. Mary lived in a life of darkness. Mary suffered the oppression that comes along with darkness. She knew what it meant to experience depression. Mary Magdalene knew what it meant to walk in sickness. She knew what it meant to feel like you were going insane. She knew humiliation. She knew shame. She knew grief. She knew sorrow. She knew sadness. Mary Magdalene knew all about darkness. She seems to be the least likely character to be written into the resurrection story of Jesus. And yet, here she is. And I would argue Mary Magdalene proclaims to us today, standing in front of an empty tomb, this first reality we need to see, that a resurrected Jesus is greater than our darkness. That a resurrected Jesus is greater than our darkness. Listen, if he is still lying in a Mediterranean tomb, then our gathering today is pointless. And our worship of him is undeserved. But he's not. He's alive. He's resurrected. And his resurrection is greater than any season of darkness we may experience or happen to know. Some of you walked in this morning and you carry with you a past. Others of you, your past is still your present. And tragically, you believe you have strayed too far to be reached by the grace of God. Well, newsflash, everybody has a past. You know what the greatest commonality is in this room amongst all of us, whether you're gathered here or watching on the screen? The greatest commonality among all of us is that we're all sinners. Everybody's made mistakes. Everybody has a past. And most often, our sins are marked by the scars that we bear, some of them emotional, some of them physical, all of them spiritual. You remember as a kid when you were growing up and you would compare scars with a friend? And all of your scars told a story, right? So you would point to the scar on your knee and you would say, I got this when I was riding my skateboard down the hill too fast, right? Or you would point to the scar on your elbow and you say, I got this when I was trying to jump a hill at grandma's house. Or you would point to the scar on your neck and say, I got this when my brother tried to catch my hair on fire. Or maybe that's just the bales, you know? Everybody has scars, and scars tell stories, and Mary Magdalene had more than a few. And in this room today, I know that while our scars vary and our stories vary as well, Mary Magdalene testifies that Jesus Christ is greater than the darkness in which they were received. And so if your darkness is defined by discouragement, then I think God has a word for you today that Jesus Christ is greater than that. For some of you, your life has been one battle after another. Depression, anxiety, fear, frustration, anger, regret, remorse, guilt, even shame. For many of us, if we're being honest this Easter morning, that is an emotion that just never seems that far away. Mary Magdalene understood as well as anyone what bondage and shame and guilt and frustration and helplessness feel like in a very real way. And look at me, so do I. I've walked through those seasons of darkness where everything just seems to be going black. But I'll remind you of what the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 5, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And so the reason why I asked you to get into the margin of your Bible just a moment ago and I had you circle that word dark is because it isn't lost on me, this particular detail, this little nuance of the story, that this woman who hails from a place of darkness, this woman who was mired in her own sin and darkness, encounters the resurrection Jesus when it was still dark. So some of you, you've walked in wearing darkness. Darkness from what you've done, or look at me, darkness of what's been done to you. And I want you to know Mary Magdalene stands before an empty tomb and proclaims to us today that Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, enters in and is greater than any darkness we may experience and know. Some of you have moved from relationship to relationship. Your darkness might not be discouragement, but maybe your darkness is marked by failure. Perhaps you've lived a life that feels so sinful that you believe yourself to be unworthy as a recipient of God's forgiveness. But I'll remind you that the Bible tells us in John chapter 8 that there was actually a woman caught in adultery in the act. And she was pulled from that moment into the town square in front of all the religious leaders of her day. And she was being prepared to be stoned, punished in a moment for the sin in which she was guilty of committing. And she encounters Jesus. And Jesus extends to her right then grace and mercy and forgiveness. And that same grace and mercy and forgiveness which was given to her on that day can be given to you today. You know you can't outsend the grace of God. You have not done too much for God to rescue you and redeem. And the resurrection is the proof that he's the only one who can. Now continuing the story, because the Bible records that Mary came to the tomb and she was preparing to anoint Jesus' bottle, expecting it to be ready to decay. But when she saw that the stone was rolled away and that the body was then gone, she assumed that someone had stolen the body. Somehow in this moment, Mary Magdalene is full of doubt. But here's what's fascinating. I think we should pay attention to this. That Jesus had actually told Mary and the entire group of disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem. That he was going to suffer a sinner's death. And that he was going to die. And ultimately that he would rise 3 days in victory. Jesus said this would happen. And guess what? Exactly what he said is what he did. Jesus did go into Jerusalem. He did die for sin, and he has risen for salvation. And yet in this moment, knowing that everything Jesus said was coming to pass has actually now taken place, Mary Magdalene's just riddled with doubt. She showed up on this Sunday morning expecting a rotting corpse. Some of you have done the same. But instead of a rotting corpse, we worship a risen Savior. And it's fundamentally different. And the resurrection is the proof that God has done the work. Look at verses 11 through 14. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain. One was at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord. And I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Did you catch that? Did you see the significance of that moment? Mary shows up on this scene and there are angels in the place where she saw Jesus' body had been laid. One at the head and one at the feet. And she's riddled with doubt. How about this? She actually has a conversation with the risen Lord. And yet she's so full of doubt, so full of skepticism and a lack of understanding that she doesn't know she's talking to Jesus right here, right now. And here's what I love about our great God and King is that despite her doubts, Mary is still written into the story, because not only does a resurrected Jesus overcome our darkness, but a resurrected Jesus is greater than our doubt. He's greater than our doubts. Some of you, like Mary, you're here at church this morning celebrating with us the resurrection of Jesus, but you too are full of doubt. You're here, but you're a skeptic. You have these doubts and these questions, and you don't think you can actually surrender your life until you have every one of them answered and all of the issues resolved. But Jesus is greater than your doubt. Jesus is greater than your questions. He's so much greater that you don't have to have all your doubts resolved or your questions answered to experience his resurrection power in your life. And think with me. We surrender doubt all the time. Like 99.9% of us don't understand the mechanics and the engineering that allow an airplane to safely take off, maintain altitude, and safely land. And yet, we get on that thing, start eating our pretzels and peanuts, and put our headphones on. We surrendered our doubts. We've surrendered our questions and absence of understanding. Every time we submit ourselves to a medical procedure, we don't understand the nuances of the human body, but we trust the person who is working on us, and we surrender some unknowns. Listen. Every single time we eat a stranger's cooking. Some of you are like, "Yeah, it's Aunt Mary today." I hear you. We're surrendering doubts and resting on what is not fully known. Some of you think you can't trust Jesus unless your doubts are settled. All of your questions get answered. But look at Mary Magdalene and find your encouragement there. In our story, Mary's told by Jesus. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to live a life and I'm going to die a death and then I'm going to rise. And everything he said has happened. And yet when she sees the empty tomb and that the stone is rolled away, the angels are sitting there and Jesus is standing right beside, she does not at first believe. You see, it wasn't Mary's questions being answered. It wasn't her doubts being erased that changed her. It was the fact that Jesus gave her the faith to believe. Because Jesus is greater than our doubts. For some of you, it's not even that you doubt the resurrection of Jesus. Perhaps you're doubting whether Christ can overcome your darkness. Perhaps you're doubting whether or not the life Jesus has for you is better than the one that you're attempting to manufacture on your own. Perhaps you're doubting whether or not what Jesus has for you and your surrender of trust in him is greater than what the world could offer instead. But I want to encourage you. Jesus proved to be greater than Mary's doubts, and he can prove to be greater than yours as well. A resurrected Jesus is greater than our darkness, and a resurrected Jesus is greater than our doubts. But finally, I want to point out to you the emotional state of Mary in this moment when she encounters the risen Jesus. Look again with me at verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. The word there in the original language for weeping, it's the strongest word that can be given to heavy grief. So have you ever had those moments where you're crying so hard you're not saying anything, but your shoulders are shrugging? Yeah, you know that kind of cry? Where you're just snotting, but nothing's coming out? That's what's going on. That's the level and the depth of the despair that Mary feels in this moment when she feels like everything is over. Mary's overwhelmed by grief. She's overcome by the feeling of defeat. Think about it. From the very first time she met Jesus, everything in her life had changed. Ever since Jesus showed up and rescued her from demonic oppression, she had given the entirety of her life into chasing after and trusting fully in him. This was her life's work, pursuing Jesus. So she saw him turn water into wine. She saw him heal those who were sick and lame. She watched Jesus walk on water, feed 5,000. She had seen it. Everything about her life and her ministry was fully given over to him. And on Friday, it seemed like all hope was lost. It seemed like in a moment, everything that she had trusted in was gone, taken away, and left her feeling with this sense of despair. But Jesus is going to invade her defeat and overcome it with a victory that he achieved. How? Because not only is a resurrected Jesus greater than our darkness, and not only is a resurrected Jesus greater than our doubt, but a resurrected Jesus is greater than our defeat. Some of you are full of defeat and despair. Even today, maybe you've received bad news from the doctor and you're not sure where to turn. Perhaps you placed your hope in a relationship and it turns out that that person has betrayed you. Maybe you're in a place of defeat because you thought your life would look different. And yet you wake up every day, it's the same old routine, and you feel completely empty inside, defeated. I want you to know that whatever you're facing, whatever it is that has stolen your hope, Jesus is greater than that. Here's what I would tell you. Not only is he greater than darkness, greater than doubt, and greater than defeat, but Jesus is greater than every great moment we have as well. A few years ago when I was serving as pastor at a church in East Texas, we had two young families that were both expecting babies at the same time. They were in the same life group. They knew one another. This was an exciting time for them to share. I got the phone call that both moms had actually gone into labor on the same day. So as Mary and I loaded up in the car and began to head to the hospital so that we could celebrate with these families what God alone could give, I got a second phone call that one of the children was born not breathing and had died. And so as Mary and I collected ourselves, got into that elevator and went up to the labor and delivery floor. Just three rooms apart from one another. One family is rejoicing and celebrating the gift of life that God had given to them, and another is grieving in the deepest recesses of their soul that everything they had prayed for and hoped for was gone in an instant. The feeling of defeat had won. And here's what I can tell you. Having been in both rooms, putting my arms around both families, Jesus Christ was in both rooms. The resurrected Jesus is greater than our best moments when we're celebrating The greatest things that life could give. See, some of you feel like you've walked in here today. Well, I don't relate to Mary Magdalene. Everything's all good with me. I can't really experience darkness. I can't really relate to doubt. I'm not sure that I've felt any recent defeat. But I'm telling you that Jesus is greater than any moment you can think you could manufacture without him. And he's greater than the moments when you recognize you have no greater need than him. Jesus Christ is greater. And everything changed in this moment for Mary. And the question is, how? How is it that things changed so much for this woman in this moment that she was able to overcome the darkness? How is it that things changed so much for this woman in this moment that she was able to overcome the doubt? How is it possible that things changed so much with this tomb empty and the stone moved that Mary Magdalene was able to overcome her defeat? Well, look at what the Bible says in verses 14 through 16, and we'll see. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. You know what it was that changed things for Mary? I believe it's the same thing that will change things for you. It's that a resurrected Jesus called her by her name. It's that a resurrected Jesus, despite everything that she had endured, the darkness, the doubt, and yes, the defeat, a resurrected Jesus knows her and calls her by her name. And when he said her name, she recognized his voice and faith was ignited in her heart. And I believe God is calling some of your name right now. And by the way, this shouldn't be a surprise to us. This seems to be the theme throughout the scriptures. Think with me about the man named Zacchaeus. This was a man that was despised for the trade that he practiced until he has a miraculous encounter with Christ himself, and he goes from greedy to generous in a moment. How? Because Jesus called his name. Think about the Apostle Peter, the man upon whom God founded the church. This was a man who is riddled with guilt because he's denied knowing who Jesus was. And in a moment, the Apostle Peter goes from a coward to a man of courage. How? Because Jesus Christ called his name. Think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is a man who hated the people who followed after God. He went from a murderer to a missionary because Jesus Christ called his name. And in this moment, this woman encounters the resurrected Jesus, and she moves from despair and darkness and doubt and defeat, and in a moment she's granted victory because a resurrected Jesus called her name. And I believe he's calling some of your name right now too. In fact, I believe he's been calling you all day long. You see, here's what's fascinating. Jesus told us he was going to do this. He not only told us that he would call Mary's name, but he said that he would call yours and mine. In John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep, how? By name. And he leads them out, and when he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. You know, can I just tell you this resurrection morning, what is essentially a fundamental difference between Jesus and our enemy Satan. See, Satan is a name caller. You know what a name caller is, like somebody who says, "Well, you're no good," or "You're worthless," or "You're lazy," or "You're a loser. You'll never amount to anything. I wish you had never been born." That's the work of the enemy. He's a name caller. The Bible says he is an accuser. And some of you have walked in here today and you are wearing a label that the enemy gave you a long time ago. And I am telling you, It is the resurrected Jesus who isn't a name caller, but calls us by our name. He calls us by our name. You're not a loser. You're not worthless. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You're not no good. If you have faith to believe in that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us what we could never accomplish for ourselves, then you're redeemed. You're a child of the King. And Jesus calls you by your name. And he's calling some of you right now. And so if you're here today, or you're watching on one of the screens, then I want to invite you, trust in Jesus. If you recognize that your life is a mess, that you are broken, that's just sin, and it's common to each and every one of us. And the Bible says the only cure for the sin, for the sickness of sin, is the life, death, burial, and yes, this Easter morning, the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus. And when we transfer our faith from trusting in ourselves or someone less than that, and give that over to God, and believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're saved. And we're granted life with God forever. And so if you're here today, and for the very first time, you want to trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, then I'm going to invite you to do that right now. In your heart, in your head, just pray something simple. God, I'm a mess. And I am trusting in Jesus today to save me. And I recognize I can't do this. And I am believing that you have done it in my place, forgiving my sin. And today, I trust you. And so I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes and to bow your heads. All over this campus, if you would do me the favor of closing your eyes and bowing your heads. And in just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And if you are one of those today who made a profession of faith and is asking Jesus to save you, if that's you, then in just a moment, when I count to three, everybody's got their heads bowed, everybody's got their eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, when I get to three, to stand up. Listen to me. Jesus Christ died for you. I'm just asking you to stand for him. So if that's you, for the very first time, today is your day of salvation. When I get to three, you stand up, and our church is going to celebrate of what God alone has done. One, Jesus Christ is greater than our darkness. Two, Jesus Christ is greater than our doubts and defeat. Three, if you are choosing today to trust in him, then stand to your feet. Ask God to redeem. Right now, all over this room, stand to your feet if you're trusting Jesus for your salvation. Praise God, stand to your feet. If you're trusting Jesus today, praise God, stand to your feet. Let's go. If you're choosing parents, if you have a child standing, stand with them. Nobody stands alone at Prestonwood. If you're asking God to save you, praise God, stand up. If you're asking God to save you, parents, nobody stands alone. Let's go. Ask God to save. If you want Jesus Christ to heal and rescue and redeem, then just stand to your feet. This is a big deal. So if you're standing, I'm asking that you would just look up here at me for just a moment. If you're standing right now, we celebrate with you. There's no greater decision that you could make. And so if you've trusted me enough up until now, I'm asking you to trust me just a minute more. I'm asking if you would go with whoever's standing with you, or if you're standing by yourself, if you would just make your way out to the atrium. We have these celebration stations, and here's what we want to do. Ready? It's not complicated. We want to give you a Bible. That's it. We want to give you a Bible. We'll give you some information about what it means to follow it after Jesus Christ and ask him to save you from your sin. And so right now, I'm asking, if you're standing, just trust me a minute more and make your way out to the atrium. I promise you, those that you came with will not leave you, okay? So if you would, just make your way out to the atrium. If you're standing, just head right on out to our celebration stations. Right now, if you would do that. Yep. Thank you very much. Church family, let's celebrate. Awesome. I saw entire families standing for Christ. Children standing with parents, grandparents standing beside. Praise God. Now listen, others of you might have unfinished work. You still have some unfinished business and you're wrestling right now with God. And that's okay. When we're dismissed, you can stop by those celebration stations anytime. I'll be out in the atrium. Our staff would be out there. We would love to talk to you and connect with you. Okay, if you have unfinished business with God, don't go home without settling in what you believe and to whom you belong. But listen, if you're here and you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have already placed your faith and trust in Him, that Jesus Christ has died for your sin, but watch this, He has risen for your salvation, then I want to tell you, we have all of the reason in the world to worship, because our God is not dead, but our King is alive. And with a resurrected King, anything is possible. So stand to your feet and let's worship a God who is deserving of our praise.
Sing all praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name.